Look further in the scriptures, please, at a verse in the epistle to Jude. Little book, one chapter just before the book of Revelation. The epistle of Jude. And I just want to read the third verse together. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. Beautiful term, isn't it? One of my favorite terms in the gospel is that term, common salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now Jude here, who introduces himself as the brother of James, in all probability related to our Lord, he says here in the opening remarks that he had intended to write of the common salvation, and he had a change of mind. And instead of that, he turns and he wrote, he says, concerning to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. And in making these remarks, he uses that very lovely term, the common salvation. We were saying in the opening hymns, our brother gave them out, and there was no coordination on it. Brother Brian, he just gave all those hymns, salvation, O salvation, enduring precious sound. Shout, shout the word salvation, your spring modus bound. Great thing, salvation. Another place in the scripture, in the book of Hebrews, there the question is asked, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? There it's the great salvation. I like that term too. And then again in that same book, speaking of the Lord Jesus, it speaks of him there as the author, that is the initiator, the originator, the provider of eternal salvation. Another great term. My, what a joy to speak about great salvation. Eternal salvation. And the other term that we have in scripture is common salvation. And I think that's my favorite. Because it just applies so nicely. It means just exactly what it says. It's the common salvation, that is, it's the one for everybody. That which is commonly used for everyone. It's there for absolutely everybody to use it commonly. Now I'd like to explain a little bit about that word salvation. Because I think you know the word saved and the word salvation, sometimes it takes a little beating in this old world, and some misunderstand it somewhat. Shouldn't do, because it's simple. And indeed, and when it comes down to the way of salvation and the preaching of salvation, the scriptures make it very clear and understandable. It really shouldn't be a problem. I think you know what the world's the minefield out there of various beliefs and religions and various thoughts, and our brother was referring to the New Age, and that'll come up and it'll go down and another replaces, and new cults form and some stay around longer than others, and it's just like a minefield. You have to be careful where you step. Satan, is the great counterfeit. He loves to make counterfeits. He loves to make counterfeit Christians. And people often hide behind that and say, well, how am I supposed to know? How can I tell? The responsibility is yours. We pray to God tonight.
for everyone in this meeting might be made very clear. The one way of salvation provided for by our Lord Jesus Christ. And really, word saved and salvation is just a noun and the verb form the same word exactly. And just the same thought as you would take it if a man was in swimming and he got into trouble and somebody went out in the water and saved him. Rescued him. That's what it is. It's a rescue. It's a deliverance. It's an escape. And I think that's emphasized in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? So you see, there's certainly no pride in it. You know, when Christians say to you, well, you know I'm saved. Really all they're saying is I'm rescued. Someone did something for me that I wasn't able to do for myself. That's the idea of salvation. Salvation's like I take the man drowning. I was the man that was drowning. And just about to expire. The last breath. And then the Savior came. The one who could swim and was strong and was able and capable and took me to the place of safety. And that's the exact picture of salvation. I do believe in my own heart that this is why a lot of folks, you know, don't really like the thought of being saved or receiving salvation or subjecting themselves to the Savior. Because that's in our own warp and woof that we seem to want to do it ourselves. Want to do some of the work. We don't like to think that we were that man on the Jericho Road who fell amongst thieves, who beat him and stripped him and departed, leaving him half dead. And waiting there for the good Samaritan to come along and lift him up in his arms and treat his wounds and put him on his own beast and take him to the inn and take care of him. We don't like to think of ourselves as laying by the sort of side of the road, helpless and beaten. The Bible says, half dead. The Bible says, when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. And I want to say tonight that I know it's well with my soul, and my soul is saved, because the Lord Jesus Christ, He bore my sins in His own body on the tree. I want to tell you that He, the Lord Jesus, was wounded for my transgressions, and He was bruised for my iniquities, and the chastisement of my peace was upon Him, and with His stripes I'm healed. Thank God for that. Thank God that I'm saved, I'm rescued. I've been delivered from danger and death and from eternal separation from God. Now, I like the word that salvation, that it's common. It means it's the same for all. We all share it. Listen, it's only one. There's only one to go around. You know, people like to think, you know, that you just kind of make it up yourself and it really doesn't matter what you believe or what you put together. As long as you're sincere and earnest in it. Then it's going to all work out or something. I have a chap I speak to often about these things, eternal matters, and I always remind him, you know, when he wants to break off the conversation, that he's the one that starts it. He'll come across the lawn there, and he'll initiate the whole conversation. I know he's going to, you know. It's just great. You get an opportunity to speak to him about the Lord and about his soul salvation. You know, and so the last conversation we had with him, I was saying, well,
Well, Jack, you know, I said, you've got to realize that in spite of all the religions out there and all the beliefs, faiths, you want to call them, there's only one way to heaven and one way only. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. And you know, he said, Phil, he said, surely you can't. He said, I can stay with you up to a point, but when you get to that point, I've got to leave you. He said, I could never be that. You mean to tell me with all these religions around and people, believe me, they're in earnest. Some people, they walk on their knees and you know, they'll walk over glass for it. Some of them will give their children to the thing and sacrifice and goes on and on. And he's mean to tell me that those people that they don't, or they're not in earnest, that they might be sincere, but they've got to be right. The Apostle Paul, writing about his own nation, Israel. Hey, have we got a bigger religion than the Jewish religion? And he says, I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Romans chapter 10. He says, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, are going about to establish their own righteousness, and have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Now for everyone that's going to heaven, he submitted himself to the righteousness of God. There's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself for our sins. It would defy logic to allow that thought into our mind, that God would give up his son, the very darling of his own bosom, and allow him to be subjected to the shame that men would put upon him, to the physical sufferings, and to the deep spiritual distresses to which Christ passed. If that was only to develop one more way to heaven. Isn't the logic, and you think of it. And yet we have that satanic thought. In this great dominion, educated land, Christian country, literate. And yet somehow, in the warping woof of men and women, by and large, walking the streets, filling the malls, walking in the marketplace, going to work in the morning, going to bed at night. And somehow they have it in their mind that they can work it out themselves and choose their own way. And God surely has several ways. Just the one. It's a common salvation. It's the same salvation for the Asian. The same salvation for the Oriental. The same salvation for the Occidental. The same salvation for the Native Indian. The same salvation for the European. Same salvation for Adam. Same salvation for Moses. Same salvation for John. Same salvation for the speaker. Same salvation for you. It's a common salvation. Only the one. And the great message is this. There's nothing for me to do. That the Lord Jesus did it all. And when he was on the cross, the last words that were recorded that he spoke. Three words. And he said them with a loud voice. It is finished. The work that saved. The work that provides salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ said, it is finished.
And I told my friend that very day, standing there and leaning on the fence together, he likes to do painting. He's good at it. And I says, Jeff, how would you feel about it now if you took me in and show me one of your paintings? And I would say, well, now, just a minute, Jeff. And I got down and I got your paintings out underneath the table. I got them up on. I said, well, let's see, where's your brushes quickly now? And I opened them up and I got some of the oil. I just want to touch up around the corners here for you. I just like to emphasize this part. Oh, he started to laugh because I see what you mean. I'd be insulted. He said it, I did. And that's what men try to do. They try to tailor their own salvation. Listen, the same salvation, you're not going to get to heaven any other way than the same way that I'm getting there. You're no better than I, you're no worse. The Bible says there is no difference. We're all of sin and come short of the glory of God. Listen, dear friend, those in our meeting, I know, you have that time in your life when you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have the assurance from the Word of God that it's well with your soul, and your soul's saved. I know that. Others here have never had that experience. And you're unsure and vague about it all. And perhaps even now you're starting to wonder, I wonder, is all well for eternity? If I died tonight, where would my soul be? I'd like to make it very clear. If it's going to be in heaven, it's going to have to be there by virtue of what Christ accomplished and absolutely by nothing that you or I or anybody else had anything to do with. It's wholly, totally, 100% the work of Christ. And I'll tell you, and the good news of the gospel is, God is satisfied with that work. Now we're all in this together. You know, it's common. We have lots of things in common. We have the same God. I think I told you one night here how impressed I was. One of those men on the radio talk shows, and every time he signs off, he says, very piously, he says it, incidentally, may your God go with you. And that sees keeping friends with everybody. Just whatever your God is. Whatever your thoughts and your in your mind or your imagination or in your heart. But I say again, and it's a powerful verse, and it's found in 1 Timothy, and Paul writing to that young man, this is what he says. There's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. You know there's one God. We both serve Him. I'm going to tell you there's one Bible. One Bible. And we share that too. It's common to us all. God's book. We have the same parents. That's back a long way. But you and I, we just could keep on tracing it back. And if we could funnel it all down, trace out the nations and the tribes and work it all down. We all work back and we, Adam and Eve, we all came from the same source. That's making things pretty common. I don't care about your color of skin, what your cultural background or your first language, or what the traditions of the family, exactly the same parents. And I'll tell you this, we share the same condemnation. Same condemnation. Adam sinned. God said, because thou hast done this, in the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread. He says, until thou returnest unto the ground, because of dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. And the New Testament tells us,
as by one man. Sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. And that all is sin. And we all share that same judgment, that same condemnation. It's a common judgment upon mankind, on every son and daughter of Adam's race. We're all in the same boat. And dear, we're all in this together. And if one is drowning, all we want to do is reach out an arm of love and pull him into the boat. Men are getting washed away and they're losing it. I'll tell you something else we share from Adam. The same nature. The same nature. The same wicked heart. The Bible says this, face answers to face in water. So the heart of man to man. Exactly the same. There isn't any sin in the catalog that anyone in this room isn't perfectly capable of committing. The Bible teaches. I know that's saying a lot. Thank God through circumstances and environment, teaching, parental training, thank God we've been preserved. All of which would emanate from the Word of God, by the way. We said that. Thank God for that preserving influence in the world. The believers themselves. And we're kept from some of that. But there isn't one of us can't say, and I mean it seriously, there, but for the grace of God, go I. And you can take some of the infamous names of history, and I'm not going to take the time to even give them the mention. Some of them in our penitentiaries here in our own country. And their names are a defilement to say them. The Bible teaches we have precisely and exactly the same heart and the same nature. Be thankful to God you weren't given the same circumstances. Maybe if you had the same parentage, the same opportunities, we're perfectly capable within us of performing the same deeds. We've got that vile, sinful, fallen nature. That's why the Lord Jesus gave us the great exhortation in Scripture to be born again. He says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. We need that spiritual rebirth. In fact, the Lord said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. We all have that same inevitability, that same enemy. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Common enemy. Just a matter of time. Really, does it matter whether I live 20 years or 100 years? The fact is, I'm going to die. You may well live another 40 years or 60 years, and is it going to matter 500 years from now, really? The point is that it's appointed unto men
wants to die. It's an inevitability. We can't change it. From the moment we're born, we're starting to physically to die. It's because as one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Say we have a lot in common, don't we? We might have had different educational backgrounds and different social status, and used to different customs and different manners at the supper table. All of those things is true. But it is amazing when it comes to God how much we have in common. We have a heart that fears man. And a heart that does not love and appreciate God and the things of God. It's not natural for man to love God. To every unbeliever with an unbelieving heart, I can say again, as faith answers to faith in water, so the heart of man to man. We all share those fears and those unbeliefs and those sins and those sinful impulses. You wonder why nations are at one another's throat and there's war all the time. I can remember a number of years ago, there was a scare. They thought there was going to be another war, another atomic war. And there was a neighbor behind us and talking, and he said, with the weapons and everything, he says, I'm convinced there'll never be another war. I said, Eric, there are wars that go on and on and on. And he was shocked, he stuck back, and he took his pipe out of his mouth. He says, you really believe that? And I says, absolutely. He says, but Bill, he says, things are different now. He says, the governments have changed, and weapons have changed, and our ideas have changed. But I said, there's one thing you haven't changed, Eric. Man's nature hasn't changed. And as long as you have those two boys fighting in the schoolyard, you're going to have one nation at the throat of the other. Is there a time, and I don't know, I've seen them on a map once in the Sun newspaper, and it showed all the wars that were going on. And some of them, we almost discount them, because there's only a few thousand being killed a day in that war. The weapons, yeah. Really, there's terrors going on all over, all the time. Another thing we have in common, we're creatures for each other. We're going to be a conscious existence forever and forever and forever. And another thing we have in common, thank God for this, God's salvation. We have the same invitation. It's, whosoever will, let him take the water of life free. And is there any more beautiful and more glorious words than the words of our Lord himself in what I suppose is the best known, most often quoted verse in all of the Bible. You know what I'm going to quote? God so loved the world. Hey, there's another thing we have in common. God loves us all the same. All the same. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen, dear friend, the brother read it there in Luke's Gospel. All things are now ready. Come to the supper. Come to the marriage supper. And that's the invitation. We give it exactly the same today. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation.
For young people, you know, it's so great and glorious to have your soul saved when you're young. Because then not only is the soul saved for eternity, but think of it now. You have all your life, you have what years down here to live for God and to make it count for eternity. We're reading the other night about the thief on the cross. The Lord saved him, possibly about 1 hour before he died. Maybe less than an hour before he died. He'd no time to live for God at all. Thank God he was saved. What a mercy. You saved when you're young. Your whole life to live for the Savior. God help you tonight. Come and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So we pray.
Our Father, we bless thee for the glorious message of the gospel. We thank thee, our Father, for the invitation to one and all to come to the marriage supper. We look to thee, our Father, and pray that there might be response from a heart tonight, that one in the quietness of his own personal thoughts and convictions with God might come and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We commend to thee, our Father, the preaching of thy word, and ask thee to bless each one. We thank thee for the opportunity to meet as we have done tonight, for the laws of the land which permit us to do so, and we thank thee for safety for everyone that made their way here, and do pray for a safe journey home again. Bless each one, our fathers. We thank thee for our Lord Jesus, and ask these things in his own most worthy name. Amen.
Pastor, just sing one verse.
Hymn number 218. Sovereign grace will send them out. Branson's soul is the fighting swell. Is the deep that knows no sun. Through his breath, the life can tell. Number 218.